Good morning and welcome to Trinity on this wonderfully beautiful morning, this Sunday in May. We are so happy that you have chosen to worship with us this morning. As we begin this time of praise and worship, if you would, please bow your heads and your hearts and let's open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, gracious Jesus, we thank you, O Lord, for your mercy and your grace. We thank you for your love and for your peace, and we thank you for your forgiveness, O Christ. Lord, we thank you for the wondrous opportunity that you have given to us to gather here this morning, and we commit this time of praise and worship into your care. May your Holy Spirit just quicken our minds and open our hearts and move our feet into action, and above all, that you would be praised, you would be honored, you would be glorified and given all the honor that you are due. We thank you, O Lord, and we love you. We commit this time of worship into your care. We pray this in the mighty and the wondrous and the gracious name of the risen Savior, our coming King, the Lord Jesus, we do pray. Amen.
So good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Amen. As we stand and get ready to praise our Lord, let's turn to your neighbor and say, I'm forgiven.
I'm forgiven.
Once like a bird in prison I dwell, no freedom from the sorrow I felt. But Jesus came and listened to me, glory to God, he set me free. He set me free, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. For glory to God, he set me free. Now I am climbing higher each day. Darkness of night has drifted away. My feet are planted on higher ground. And glory to God, I'm homeward bound. He set me free, yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. For glory to God, he set me free. Goodbye to sin and things that confound. Not of this world can turn me around. Daily I'm working, I'm praying till. Glory to God, I'm going through. He set me free, yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. And glory to God, he set me free.
We're going to do that again and celebrate God has forgiven all of us.
He set me free, yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. For glory to God, he set me free. For glory to God, he set me free. For glory to God, he set me free.
As we bow our heads, Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we thank you for setting us free, Father, for you have given us victory over sin. All we have to do is turn to you and ask for that forgiveness. Know that you are a Savior. Know that you have died for our sins. And we thank you, Father, for sending your only Son, Jesus, to do that. What an ultimate sacrifice, so that we may be set free, that we may have victory. We don't have to carry anything with us. In all things we give you praise, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
An unknown story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood. with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood.
As we bow our heads, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the victory you've given us, Lord. We thank you for dying on that cross and allowing us to have a future that is bright, that can be free from any burdens or any chains that we carry with us, Lord. Because of the fact you live, those chains are broken in our lives. We no longer need to carry anything with us, any burdens or anything, because all we have to do is turn to you and ask for that forgiveness. And we're getting the best end of the trade, Lord. You're taking our burdens away. And unfortunately, Lord, there's a lot of people in this world that are hurting that need you. Please allow them to find you, Lord, because you live. There is no reason we can't face tomorrow. We thank you for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
God sent his Son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Be to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days because he lives. Because he lives. I'll cross the river, I'll fight life's fight, no war with pain, and then as death gives way to victory, because he lives, I can face tomorrow, because he lives, all fear is gone, because I know. And life is worth the living just because he lives.
As we bow our heads, Heavenly Father, life is worth the living just because you live, Lord. Father, you do give us a future. You give us a bright, bright future, because we can face tomorrow and all fear will be gone. We no longer have to fear anything. We can totally trust in you and just look at the beautiful sunshiny day and look and understand that sometimes the sun shining is spelled S-O-N, S-O-N shining in our lives, Lord, and we thank you for that. Lord, we ask a special blessing over this service, and any of us that have anything we've carried with us, allow us to lay it to you and let it go on this beautiful day. In all things we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Be seated. Isn't God good?
Amen.
Before we continue this time of praise and worship here this morning, I just want to briefly highlight a couple announcements on the back of your bulletin. You'll notice with me that we have an announcement in there that graduation is right around the corner. If you have a family member that is soon to be a graduate from high school or college, and you would like to notify the entire congregation of that, please contact Susie. And we will be making that announcement in the bulletin over the next several weeks. And to that end, we have a future graduate right back here. Chris, Holcomb. He is graduating this year. And the family, Mike and Stephanie, would like to invite their church family, you and me, to Chris's graduation party, which will be on June the 4th, 2016, at from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. right here in the Fellowship Hall. And so you all are invited to that. We will have that announcement in the bulletin next week, but we wanted to give you a couple weeks notice so that you guys could plan, and if you are feeling led to be here, you know, to celebrate with Chris that milestone in his life. Also, notice with me, July 29th through the 31st, we are planning the Creation Museum Fellowship trip. Please, if you're interested in that, sign up the fellowship sign-up sheet in the Fellowship Hall and just put your name down. We are looking for interest at this point so that we can plan. And my hope and my prayer is that it would not stop with our congregation only, but we would invite those in the community, those that have questions, friends, extended family members, just to be a part of that wonderful trip down there, to not only see the life-size ark that they are completing, but also to take a trip to the Creation Museum. And then we have a couple vacation Bible school announcements. Saturday, June the 4th at 10 a.m., we will be having a very important VBS crew leader meeting. And all of you that have signed up to be a crew leader, you will know if that is for you. And if you're wondering if that is meant for you, then it probably does not, you know, pertain to you. And then lastly, VBS, Wednesdays at 6 p.m., you are all invited to come and take part in making the decorations here for this wonderful outreach ministry of Vacation Bible School, of sharing the gospel with these young people in this community of Gibsonburg. And so please come and please be a part of that wonderful, wonderful time of preparation. As we continue the time of praise and worship with the reading of God's Word, Children's Church is now dismissed. For those in kindergarten through fifth grade, we have a special ministry prepared especially for you. This morning's scripture reading is found in the book of 1 John, and we will be reading out of the first chapter, verses 1 through 9. If you're utilizing the Pew Bible, you will find this on page 1898. Please follow along as we hear a reading from the book of 1 John. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you: God is light, in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Listen to this promise, friends. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. May God bless the reading of his word. As we continue this time of praise and worship with the giving of our tithes and offerings, if the ushers would please come, may we give back a portion of what God has blessed us with.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken, and I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit lives within me, because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. Jesus, you are my King. 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 Amazing love, how can it be? You, my King, would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you in all I do. I honor you in all I do. I honor you.
Loving eternal Heavenly Father, we do indeed give you all the thanks and the praise and the glory for all the many blessings you bestow upon us each and every day. Father, we've placed on your altar this morning our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, asking your blessing upon them. Bless them and multiply them into your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Anne Graham Lotz, the daughter of Billy Graham, she made this statement some time ago. She said, the definition of a good marriage is having two individuals that are really good at forgiving. Let that sink in a little bit, and I can attest that over the last several weeks, I have begun to get practice in becoming forgiving and much practice for asking for forgiveness, I will say that. And it's a wonderful journey, I will tell you that. And, you know, in fact, yesterday I was with Kathy. I was over in Indianapolis, and I ate dinner with her. And just before we left, I found myself, you know, asking for her forgiveness for something that I had said. And so I truly believe that Anne Graham Lotz is correct. So even at this early stage in our relationship, I will attest to that. So this morning, we are continuing our series titled Total Forgiven and Being Forgiven. And I want us to do something a little different here this morning. And I want this to be more of a teaching time versus a preaching time. I've been working through a book titled Total Forgiveness by R.T. Kendall. And I would, you know, just, you know, share with you that if you are struggling with what forgiveness is and what it looks like, get a hold of a copy of that book and read through it. So it will just transform your understanding of what forgiveness is, how it will impact your life, and how you can totally know that you and I have been totally forgiven by God. And friends, we have been. And so that's where I want us to go this morning. I hope that when we leave and when our time is complete here this morning, that all of us will know that you and I have totally been forgiven by God through Jesus Christ. I hope that that is the case because it's very true. And we're going to unpack some different elements to this truth over this several moments. And I hope that you hear what I'm saying. It's hugely important. It's vital. Because if we don't feel forgiven, then we have placed ourselves on this performance relationship with God. And the scripture that we read just a couple moments ago, it was talking about having fellowship with God. And if unforgiveness exists in any type of relationship, that fellowship is hindered. And I have found with my relationship with Kathy that if there is unforgiveness that begins to set in, and yes, you might think you've only known her for several months, but that is very true. If unforgiveness sets in, then the fellowship, the deep fellowship, the deep time of communing one with another, and I'm not talking physically, I'm talking mentally, emotionally, spiritually, the deep communion that exists will not be there if unforgiveness sets in. And the same is true with God, friends. If unforgiveness sets in, or if we buy into the lie that we haven't been forgiven, that we've done something too horrible that God could never forgive us for, whatever that is, then that fellowship is interrupted. That's why it's vitally important. Last week when we saw the issue of total forgiveness is God wants you to experience the full power of His Holy Spirit that He has sealed you with and has dwelt within you. And when we become bitter and resentful, then we impede, we cause God harm, we cause Him pain, we impede His flowing through us, and this is why forgiveness is such a vital and important issue for the church. So this morning, I hope you will leave here knowing that you have been totally forgiven by God. We find our text this morning in the book of 1 John, chapter 1, verse 9. And we are going to start here. We live in a unique time, friends, in such a unique time. And I want to just unpack. We have bathroom issues. We have issues with marriage. We have social issues going on. And I'm not going to spend much time talking about those issues. We all know what they are. But I will talk about this. And this is really what God is saying here. And this is His heart. If we confess our sins, we need to start right there. And don't get caught up on the fact that God is asking you to do something. Don't miss the underlying statement here. And this is what the underlying statement is. You nor I have the right to define the standard by how we relate to God. And our society is trying to define how they relate to God. And that's why we have these bathroom issues. That's why we have these marriage issues. That's why we have all these social issues. It's about them defining how they can relate to God. And it's them trying to define what is acceptable to God. And I will tell you that confession in the original text, it means to stand in agreement with. And so if you are truly going to confess, if I am truly going to confess, then we have to determine and we have to define what standard we relate to God on. And friends, the standard is God is holy. God is perfect. Jesus Himself said, "Be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." That is the standard, friends. We don't have the right to define how we relate to God. And that is what our society is trying to do. They are trying to define what is acceptable to God rather than looking to the Holy Writ, the Holy Scriptures, and allowing God Himself to define that standard. Until you are perfect, until I am perfect, until the rest of the world is perfect, we don't have that right. It's God that has that right. And if we are truly going to know that we have been totally forgiven, we must start here. We must start with the understanding and the acknowledgement that it's God's standard and not our own. It's God who determines His standard. And friends, it's the standard of perfection. It's the standard of holiness. It's that standard that you nor I will ever live up to. And that's exactly why we need the sacrifice, the death and the resurrection, and the bodily resurrection at that, signifying that God's wrath had passed over and that His forgiveness that Jesus bought and purchased for you. He took your sin. He took my sin upon Himself. The Scripture says, He who knew no sin became sin on your behalf. But He did one better. He made you the righteousness of God. He made you what Jesus was. Holy, perfect, complete. He made you exactly what God demands. And so the lie in our minds, the lie that the enemy tries to perpetrate toward us is this: you have done whatever it is that you have done, and it's such a grievous sin that God could never forgive you. God can. God has. God will. But the fact remains, are we trying to define the standard by which we relate to God on? Or are we truly saying, we confess or we agree? We are in total agreement with God that I have been highly offensive to you and to your sight. And yes, even at my best, I am highly offensive to God because I still wrestle with this thing called sin, the Adamic nature, the fallen nature that all of us were conceived in and all of us were born into. We all will wrestle with that till the day we go home to be with Him in glory. So the standard has to be set by God. If you truly want to know, if you truly want to allow it to sink in your soul that God has totally forgiven you, we must start here. We must agree. We must agree with a holy God because, friends, I don't know about you, except with Christ, I am not holy. It's only in Jesus that I am made acceptable to God. It's only in Christ the Lord, the risen Christ, that I have been made perfect. It's only in His perfection that He has accounted to my account. It's only in His holiness that He has given to me and He has bought and paid and made the payment for the mistakes, for the failures, for the faults, for the flaws, for all the warts that I have in my life. And we've got to start there. If you truly want to walk out of here, it's not about what you've done. It's about how you and I understand that we need to relate to a holy God. The devil has this wonderful way of manipulating our minds, and he has this crafty little way to focus us on the wrong thing. And friends, the wrong thing is on what you have done or maybe what you haven't done. The right thing to focus on is what Jesus did. The right thing to focus on is the accomplishments, tetelestai. When Jesus was on the cross, He pronounced it. It is finished. It's complete. The work of atonement is done. And then He breathed His last. The work of forgiveness, friends. The work of forgiveness, it doesn't say this. It doesn't say, well, I'm going to forgive you if you measure up this far. No, He says, I'm going to forgive you if you agree. If you agree with God and the standard of holiness, the standard of perfection, if we agree with how God demands that we relate to Him, then and only then, when we agree in prayer, it doesn't matter the action, it doesn't matter the event, it doesn't matter where you've been, it doesn't matter. And I am not talking about going and living your life any way that you want. Romans 6 will tell you that. What then, where grace abounds, shall we continue in sin? By no means. It's a double negative in the original text. Meganoita, by no means, no not, don't let that happen. Accept the grace of God. Accept it and live differently. I want to make that clear. Total forgiveness is not about getting a free pass to live your life any way that you want. Total forgiveness is about understanding the standard that God has called all of us to. And none of us are perfect. None of us are holy outside of a relationship with Jesus. That's why it's Christ. That's why every time I teach and preach, I try to point us back to the cross. I point us to the risen Savior. I point us heavenward. That's why with the worship team, the praise and worship team, I have made a statement. Whatever is set up here needs to point us heavenward. Because if it's pointing anywhere else, it's misguided. And total forgiveness says this, it's about Jesus and what He accomplished. And if you truly want the freedom that Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Well, I know an awful lot of people that Jesus has set them free and they are still in this type of bondage, this type of self-imposed prison because they are buying into the lie of the devil, of the enemy, of saying, you can never be forgiven. And friends, I bought into that for years. For years. I felt called to the ministry. My past is no light lunch. I'll be the first to tell anybody that. I've gone places I had no business going. I've done things that I had no business doing. I've said things. I've been in areas that I had no business going. And the devil would tell me, you think you're worthy to be in ministry? Yeah. The misguided focus is on what you've done and what you haven't done. A correct focus is on what Jesus did.
Jesus bought your forgiveness. Jesus paid for you to be reconciled with a holy God. Jesus took your sin and gave you His righteousness. Jesus, He grafted us in, and He is the vine. We are the branches. Jesus says in John 1, verse 14, to all who believe in Him, that's us here, friends, He gave you the right, the privilege, the honor, the opportunity to be called sons and daughters of God. That's His standard. His standard is on what we could never do because it glorifies Him. When we were darkness, and I didn't say in the darkness, the Scriptures calls you and I, before our relationship with Christ, calls you and I darkness. Jesus sought us out, and He made us the light of the world. It's His standard, friends. If we don't start there, then the sad reality of it is we will never, ever, ever allow the total forgiveness to permeate the depths of our heart. We will never, ever, ever experience the total freedom that God wants us to experience. And I'm here to tell you, it's a wonderful thing. And what I want for you, what I want for me, is God's best. I want you to be unleashed. I want you to be unhindered. I want you to be unshackled. I want you to experience the freedom, and it's got to start right here. It's not about confession, guys. It's not about going into some confessional booth. Years ago, I went to visit a friend in Minnesota, and we went to St. Paul's Cathedral, a Catholic church, all right? I've never been in a confessional, and inside this sanctuary, there were two great big lines of confessionals. And all I wanted to do was see what was inside of one, and they were all locked. I couldn't get in one. I've yet to be in a confessional, yet. But it's not about confession. It's about an agreement. I believe that was God telling me it's not about the confessional booth. It's about agreeing with me. It's not about what we do. It's about what Jesus has done. Let that sink in, please. I implore you, let the total forgiveness just saturate your heart. Let His freedom just be the beacon for your life. That's His standard, friends. The second thing that we see is this, and this is the connection. And the connection is this. He, meaning Jesus, is faithful and He is just. And if we agree with Him, if we base our relationship with God based upon His standard of perfection, His standard of holiness, then when we agree with Him, Jesus is faithful. He is faithful even when we are unfaithful. Hear that. There are times in my life I'm unfaithful. There are times in my life I wake up and I really don't want to pray. I want to just hit the ground running. There are times in my life that I don't want to read His word. That's normal. That's reality. What's not normal is saying, nope, I hit the ground every morning and I do this and I do that. I'm a machine. I'm a robot. No, we are humans. We are created in God's image. But yet, Jesus is faithful. And even when we are unfaithful, He is faithful. But we've got to agree. You see, and it goes back to the confession. It goes back to agreeing with God and His standard. And when we agree, it's only then, friends. It's only when we agree to relate to a holy God at His standard that He will be faithful and He will be just. And here's the result. He will forgive us of our sins. Now, forgiveness is one thing, but the second phrase is huge. The cleansing from all unrighteousness. Do you realize that there are things in my life that years ago I could call up in my mind mentally and I could put myself back in a situation? And I believe that many other people can relate to that as well. I believe there are things that we've experienced that we can go right back there. And this is where it really begins to illuminate the type of freedom that total forgiveness gives to you and to me. When we begin to appropriate or apply what Jesus did on the cross, that cleansing from all unrighteousness, I still have a memory of those things and those places that I've done and those places I've been. They do not have the effect on me anymore. I've been set free. I have been set completely free. But I had to agree with God. I had to rebuke the lie of saying that I wasn't worthy, that I wasn't good enough. And friends, I'm going to just tell you right now, you are worthy. You are good enough. You're worthy of God's grace. You're worthy of Jesus' forgiveness. If you weren't, he wouldn't have done what he did. If you weren't, he wouldn't have came and stepped out of heaven and come to this earth. If you weren't, he wouldn't have offered himself for you. And if you were the only one, he still would have come. That cleansing from all unrighteousness. Here again, I'm not advocating that we can live any way that we want. God saves us from something, and he saves us to something. He saves us from sin. He forgives us from this sin, and he calls us to a life of righteousness, a life of holiness. Please, get out of the trap of believing you've done something too horrible. That's the connection, friends. The connection is the cross. The connection is Jesus. When he died on the cross, the connection is his forgiveness for you and for me. And when we receive that, we totally know. There's such a, it's almost euphoric. When you've been buying into the lie, it's a euphoria that you receive when God's forgiveness saturates your soul. To know that the Creator of the universe finds you completely acceptable in Jesus. To know that the Creator of the universe, the lover of your soul, yearns to embrace you. To know that is a wonderful thing. It evokes a sense of peace. It evokes a sense of power. It evokes a sense of confidence in your life that maybe you've never known before. You will walk in a different way. It's not an arrogant or a haughty, it's not a proudful walk. It's a confidence of knowing that no matter what happens in this world, no matter what happens in your life, that you are accepted, you are totally forgiven by the one who created you. By the one who created the heavens and the earth. Here's our call. Our call is just what we covered. That's our call. If we say we have not sinned, well, friends, if we try to relate to God on a different standard than what God has demanded that we relate to him on, that is sin, friends. If we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar and his word is not in us. That's our call. Our call for today is to relate to God at his standard of perfection, his standard of holiness. Now, I want you to know what I am not saying. I am not saying for you or me to strive to be perfect. That is not what I am saying, because you will fail. I will fail. I am saying that when we accept the standard as being, I can't live up to what God's standard is, we acknowledge our need for Jesus. And when we acknowledge our need for Jesus, we are in agreement with God. And when we're in agreement with God, he gives us what we don't have. And that is forgiveness. That is love. That is peace. That is patience. That is gentleness, kindness, self-control. That is hope for the future. That's what we're called to do. Relate to God. That is how he demands we relate to him. It's very sad to see our world try to define our relationship. Early on with Kathy and me, one of the very first times we went out, we defined our relationship. We sat in a restaurant called the Olive Garden, and we defined what our relationship was going to be like. We defined it in many different areas. In areas, physical intimacy, we set that out from the go. We set it out from the forefront. We said, this is not going to happen. This is not going to happen. We set it out. We defined our relationship. We defined it with roles. We defined it financially. We've defined it socially. We defined it with our families. And yes, I'm here to tell you that if you're married, if you're in any relationship, you probably have defined it. And if you haven't defined it, than one of the sayings that I got from seminary. You need to DTR, define the relationship. You need to define it where it stands. God, friends, has defined that relationship. He has defined the standard of how He demands that you and I relate to Him, and there is nothing that we can do that will ever make us acceptable. And praise be to God that Jesus came, and Jesus has given us His righteousness, and He took our sin, and this whole give and take away is a wonderful thing. As Mike prayed, he took the short end of the stick. We got the better end of the deal. And that is our call, friends. We need to agree and relate to God with how He demands that He be related to. He's a holy God. He's a perfect God. And Jesus saw your plight. He saw my plight. He saw your inadequacies. He saw my inadequacies. He saw your struggles. He saw my struggles. And He said, "You can't, but I will." And He laid down His life after living for 33 years perfectly without sin. And He, my friends, was the unblemished Lamb. He is the Lamb of God, John the Baptist proclaimed. He is the unblemished Lamb that makes us, by His blood being poured out, He makes you and I totally acceptable to God our Father. Don't buy into anything else. It's Christ and Christ crucified. And when we receive His forgiveness, as He uttered on the cross, when the thief, one of them, said, "Remember me." Basically, he's agreeing with God. He's saying to his other thief friend, "Look, we've done all these crazy things. We deserve what we're getting." And then he says to Jesus, "Remember me." And Jesus says, in essence, "You are forgiven. You will be with me in paradise." You and I can know that same forgiveness, that same total forgiveness. And when we know it, we just want to share it. We want others to experience that because of the love that God showed to us. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank You, Lord, for Your mercy. We thank You, Jesus, for Your sacrifice, for Your love, for Your peace, for all that You have blessed us with. And Heavenly Christ, oh Lord Jesus, we agree with You. You're a holy God. You are a perfect God. We are in total agreement. We are in desperate need of what only You could do, and that was to live a life through Jesus, Your Son, Jesus who is God, to live that life of perfection so that through Him, we would be given Your forgiveness. We thank You, O Lord. We thank You, O Christ, for all that You bless us with. May You just allow this word of truth to just seep into our soul, to saturate our being, to just bring us closer to You, that we might have that unbroken fellowship with You, O Lord. And we thank You, Father. We thank You for Jesus. We thank You for Your forgiveness. And Lord, we thank You for Your holy word, the word of promise that says, if we agree, You are faithful and just, and You will forgive us. But You won't stop there. You'll cleanse us from all those past mistakes. You'll wipe them away as if they never happened. You'll remove our mistakes and sins and transgressions as far as the east is from the west. And Your word says You will put them in the sea and they will be remembered no more. You won't hold them against us, and we praise You, O God, for that. We bless You. O glorious day. O glorious day that we can receive the forgiveness of Christ, the living Lord, the risen Savior. O glorious day. We bless You, O Father. We pray this in the mighty name of the wondrous, the perfect, the true, the coming King and the risen Savior, the loving Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Now these altars are open if you need anything from God, because we have been redeemed from all of our sin. If we just need to ask God to forgive us and turn to Him.
As we close here this morning, friends, you are redeemed. If you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have been purchased by His blood, by His sacrifice of love, by Him laying down His life and dying for you. You, my friends, have been totally forgiven. As we agree with God's standard on how we relate to Him, may we receive His faithfulness and His justification of making it so that it would be as though we never even sinned. May we experience the purifying nature of His pureness and the cleansing from all of our unrighteousness. And may we truly, friends, experience the freedom of being totally forgiven this day and the days to come. Because, friends, God has totally forgiven you and me. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may the forgiveness of Christ saturate your soul. May it be the anchor for your life. May you experience a confidence and a hope and a joy and a peace that comes from being totally forgiven. May the love of Jesus bless you and adorn you. May you and I go in peace. Amen.